We thought, though, that what we would do orally is to maybe talk about or explore some strategies for how to deal with these problems where we don't know what the statute means and we're not sure of how people ought to deal with them. So I want to start, and so all of this is a world of uncertainty, and we want to put it that way. And the first question is, what about disposable income after 60 months and prepayment of a CARES modification? So here's the issue. Let's say that your client is eligible to do a CARES mod. Do you want to do as short of a CARES mod as you can, or do you want to do as long of a CARES mod as you can, or do you want to do just what your client thinks that they need? So in order to be eligible to file an 84-month modification, the debtor must have experienced a material financial hardship due directly or indirectly to the COVID pandemic and have had a plan that was confirmed prior to March 27th of 2021. So the fundamental question is how much projected disposable income has to be included. What do you think?
Well, under the addition of 1329D, I think 1329D tells you that 1325A shall apply. It doesn't mention 1325B, which is a section that mandates what disposable income needs to be committed into a plan.
And 1325A says, it does sort of incorporate 1325B, but when it sort of incorporates 1325B, by the way, it only requires that you provide your projected disposable income during the applicable commitment period, right? But the applicable commitment period is never longer than 60 months. So what are you required to do with your projected disposable income starting in month 61 under the statute? And if there is no projected disposable income in month 61, life is pretty easy. Then why should the debtor pay out additional disposable income? And why should a court, how can a trustee demand that during that extra 24 months, the debtor commit projected disposable income over and above the projected disposable income for the first 60 months, right?
Well, I hear what you're saying, but what if the debtor has a new job and they have, you know, an extra $1,000 that they don't know how to deal with?
So the requirements for approval of a modification are, if the debtor meets the requirements of a modification, the court must approve it, right? So what if you're right? What if your client, and why the hell are you arguing against your client? But that's a different question. What if your client has $1,000 a month of projected disposable income during months 61 to 84?
Well, I think they ought to use it up somehow, either create a feasibility cushion or get creative.
What if they don't do anything with it?
Well,
must the court still confirm a plan even over the objection of an unsecured creditor or the Chapter 13 trustee? So assume that a debtor has $200 a month of monthly projected disposable income, $20,000 of unsecured debts, priority and admin claims. In a 60-month mod, the debtor would have to pay all secured claims plus $12,000 on those other claims, right? 200 times 60. But what happens if it goes to 84? There may be no projected disposable income requirement for the period after month 60. And the court, if there isn't that requirement, and you heard one of the cases cited, I think, by Judge Rodriguez, the court can't say, well, it's not good faith to, even if you meet the code, if you pay what the code requires, that's good enough. So why would you pay more? If they need to pay $24,000 under the modification to cure pre-modification defaults, and their ongoing mortgage payment is $2,000 a month, why would a debtor ever propose a modification that pays more than the $24,000 cure amount or for less than 84 months? So think about this. Let's assume that your client can afford it, right? Why should your client propose an 80-month plan or a 76-month plan or anything short of an 84-month plan? Why are you going to have your people do that?
I don't think they should do that. I think they ought to stretch it out to the 84 months and then figure out a way to prepay extra income if they want to do that, but build in that cushion.
So you'll remember, if you're in a 60-month plan, the Fifth Circuit has held you can't prepay the 60-month plan because the court can look at projected disposable income for the full 60 months and you might have a change in your projected disposable income. So you can't prepay a 60-month plan, which makes all of us think, well, geez, I better put my client in as short of a term as possible so that they can not have this prepayment problem.